tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Ah, there it is! Oh, yeah! Hey guys!
Star tours.
Oh yeah, it's always a star tour here at AfterBuzz. Thanks guys for joining us here for episode 4 of Star Wars Rebels Breaking Ranks. But before we get into that, let me introduce my lovely co-hosts who just got here out of crazy traffic. Megan Salinas.
Hey everyone, we made it.
Woohoo! And Katie Colin.
Hi all my buddies.
And joining us today, we got two special guests from the Jedi Alliance podcast on the Schmo Knows Network and the Schmo Knows Movie Show. We got Ken Napzok.
Hey!
And Maude Garrett.
Hi. So fun fact.
Oh, fun fact. Here we go.
This is Master Kenobi.
Oh, Master Kenobi. I like that.
I'm the Madawan.
Madawan.
I like that.
That doesn't work when Madawan. I say it, because I say Maud.
Maud.
Yeah, Madawan.
Puns.
It works.
I love puns.
We love it. It works. That'll be your names for the show. Let me write that down.
Do we get fun names?
No.
All right. Well, fine.
Maybe next time. We'll have to think of them on the side.
This is what I get for not dressing up for Halloween.
That's what you get.
I did dress up and I didn't get anything.
All right, let's do what did you think about it before we break it down?
I enjoyed this one a lot. At first, I thought this episode was going to make me feel really, really guilty about trash-talking stormtroopers all season. Because it's like, okay, we get a look behind these are actual people and everything like that.
Well, they should learn.
No, only the ones who take off their helmets.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones you have to feel for. But apart from that, I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was fun.
Well, notice that they never actually had shooting lessons here.
I know, right?
A lot of obstacle courses.
Well, they had to shoot at those obstacles for a second.
Yes, but they didn't teach them how to shoot. They just said shoot them.
That's true.
God help you if you can't aim.
It starts to explain so much.
I know, right?
What are you guys? How are you guys feeling about the series, by the way? You guys are... I know you have your own Jedi Alliance podcast, yeah. But... For anyone that may have not seen that.
Well, it's two very sophisticated members of society. we liked it. We read A New Dawn, the book leading into it, to get a better feel for mm-hmm. the characters, especially Kanan and Hera.
Right.
I personally love the sound effects. I don't have to watch it. Sure. I can just listen to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Star Wars.
Listen to him in all the pew, pew, yeah! Yeah. And Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yes.
I am a 90s kid. I will never grow up.
Dante Bosco in this episode.
Right?
We were watching it when I was like, is that Prince Zuko?
And then I reminded everyone that Prince Zuko is also the same guy that played Rufio in Hawk.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I had the biggest happy dance when I discovered that. Because I actually, fun fact as well, I hosted Nickelodeon back home in Australia
for
like 3.5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fun.
So I ate Avatar for breakfast, basically.
There you go.
And I found that out. And I was like so excited and realized that no one knew what I was talking about.
What?
No one's cool in Australia.
Jeez.
But the show.
I have never felt more like an 80s kid than right now. Overall, look, on our show, we kind of got a little flack for tearing into Rebels a little bit, especially the pilot. But overall, as a Star Wars fan, I love that I have Star Wars programming every week to digest. So it's a pleasure and a privilege to nitpick a little bit. But I have a lot of faith in the series and the people behind it.
Right, right.
Yeah. And it's fun.
And it's okay.
It's just
it's okay
fun.
To nitpick things. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe people hear us and get ideas and it helps them. Who knows?
Because,
you know, we're their audience along with other people. So, you know, our ideas count.
And when you're nitpicking, that means you have a love for the material anyway.
Look,
nobody who doesn't care is going to nitpick.
Right. I nitpick Clone Wars, but I drunkenly accosted a Dave Filoni at Comic Con this year. Me and my writing partner drunkenly cornered him and said, how does it feel to have something better than the prequels that she created with that cowboy hat.
Yeah, I say that many times. The Clone Wars series,
better than the prequel.
Did you guys also think that Ezra is just Aladdin?
Yes.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, we talked about that first
episode.
One
jump ahead.
I think, I mean, they even called him a street rat. There's many references. He's Aladdin. Aladdin is now a Jedi.
I feel like we make an Aladdin joke every episode, basically.
All right. Let's get into this
episode.
Would
they see a Jedi?
No, sir.
Here we go on the Disney.
Look
what you started.
It's legit now. It's legit.
They're technically like brothers.
Yeah.
They're in the Disney family.
And that's
family.
Why it's legit. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can be in the same parades.
Yeah.
Would be really cool.
That would
right
be
next
awesome.
To if, all the Marvel characters.
If Dave Filoni actually kind of was like, all right, I get it. It's Aladdin. And just have him as like a little Easter egg. So every episode, Aladdin would walk past a frame. Or just like pop up somehow.
Or maybe like a boo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just someone from Aladdin. That would be so cool.
Put the little Abu hat on Chopper.
Yeah.
That would work.
There you go. All right, so we start this episode off, guys, with Ezra in a Imperial Academy. They show some little kid stormtroopers, and we're like, oh, it's an Imperial Academy.
Oh,
that's cool.
Kid stormtroopers. I thought they were Legos.
Yeah. They kind of have a Lego stormtrooper look.
I heard the dollar signs cashing in when I saw that. It's like, well, there's their next range. It's like the Lego Stormtrooper Academy kids.
They're working in every aspect. You know, Lego,
Disney.
Haven't
they already done, like, at least
there's tons
three
of
Lego
Star Wars games?
Oh, yeah. Games. I feel like there are probably six or something like
that's
that.
That's because
for every movie.
Lego Star Wars games are better than some of the actual Star Wars game.
That is, that's true. They're fun. They're
fun. Many nights to the first Star Wars Lego game.
Maybe we'll get a Star Wars Rebels Lego game.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
That'd be adorable.
I'd be up for that.
It would look the same.
So they, take their helmets off. We see that they're kids, and Ezra's one of them. Oh God, Ezra's training to be a stormtrooper. What's happening?
And you can just kind of go important, important, important. None of the rest of you matter.
No. Yeah. Only the ones we see the faces of.
They also, if you notice, the back row didn't have any unique colors. Notice everyone else had a unique color and sigil on their helmet, and the entire back row was just blank.
Not true. There was... I feel like there was one... That? Or maybe it was one of their other friends, but one had like a yellow signature.
No, yellow was Leonis.
Okay, never
mind. Red was Ezra, and blue was Kel.
And the fourth guy in the
front row
had a different color.
He was green, but he was like the enemy. It's so that you always knew, oh, that's the bad guy.
Never took his helmet off.
Yeah, he never took
his
helmet off.
But the whole back row, there was nothing.
You didn't want to see that guy with his helmet on.
Fill the body count.
Because, when they started taking off their helmets, like I said, I was about to start feeling really bad for, like I said, all the stormtrooper bashing that we did. Because it's like, oh my gosh,
they're people with backstories.
No, they're
stormtroopers. Reminds me of Austin Powers when they're like slowly rolling over that one kind of like footman. And then like the wife picks up the phone. Hey, what? He got squashed by a steamroller? Johnny, your father's not coming home. It's Christmas. It's like, oh God. Yeah,
That goes back to the old Clerks where they talk about all the contractors on the Death Star and you feel bad for all those people. Yeah, yeah, so it's a messed up.
We on our show end each show with a tribute to a fallen character from Star Wars. We've paid tribute to some biker scouts too, giving them a backstory. So
that's nice.
Bring a tissue for your tears.
Oh, it's really hard.
You guys need to make a compilation of all your tributes.
You just need to watch the show.
Oh, I'm going to watch all of them. I want to watch it quick.
I keep bringing this up, and I will probably wind up bringing this up once an episode, but again, Phineas and Ferb did a Star Wars special, and they addressed, what about all of those other people on the Death Star? Mm-hmm. Oh, they're on that space bus over there. They got them off.
They got them off.
Yeah, they're fine.
Okay.
They're fine.
So,
no one got hurt.
It's a kid's show.
Now let's keep
moving
going.
On.
Yes.
Before we run out of time here, I'm talking about fallen scout troopers.
We haven't even gotten onto Alderaan yet.
Yeah,
so
I know.
That's going to be an awkward conversation.
Yeah, it is. So they're training. You see them doing these training exercises to try and see who are the best cadets. Ezra obviously is like beating everyone because
he's force sensitive
and
he's cheating.
Oh, Ezra, wow. It seems like you know where they're coming from before they even come out.
Just good.
Because he's cheating.
He's cheating. He's
like cheating.
Force is cheating, by the way.
He's thinking with portals without actually having portals.
Yeah. Right.
This whole thing is just a portal game.
Yeah, kind of. Yes. Or it's an episode from the Clone Wars where all the bounty hunters had to do the same thing.
Wait, really?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, pretty much.
Or it's Ender's Game as well.
Yeah, you know what?
I was getting a very Ender's Game vibe from this, yeah, because of all the helmets and the space jumping.
So he gets to the top, and they're like, oh, good job. Oh, you're number one again. And they're like, oh, he's good. He's impressive. A little too impressive. Mark that down.
You know, again, this is starting to make so much more sense because every time you get a competent student in Stormtrooper boot camp, you hand him over to the Inquisitor and he just kills
him. So that's what happens to them all. That's why all the Stormtroopers are idiots. Because all the good ones are killed by the Inquisitor.
They're not competent.
You want malleable, obedient soldiers, especially if they're going to be your faceless troops.
Okay.
You don't want standout people who are going to start having ideas and thinking.
Or an aim.
Sheer numbers, right?
The flip side of that is when you need a rebel shot, they will not be shot because there's no one left.
But they'll paint a really pretty silhouette of their body.
There you go, yeah.
Right around them with the laser.
Everywhere around that person, but not actually that person.
So, Ezra gives a secret message. They're walking down the hall. I like this. You guys won. You get to chill out for the night. These other guys got to go get whipped into shape by the Taskmaster. And you see a little spray-painted chopper coming down the hall. I didn't know it was him at first until Ezra gave the secret hand code. And he gives him the little hand code, and Leonis. Is that his name, Leonis?
Leonis.
Yeah, Zare Leonis. He notices, like, what? Did that little droid just beep at him? What's going on? And you kind of see him, like, putting something together, like, what's Ezra up to? Chopper runs off and gives this little message to Sabine and Zeb, saying, hey, I'm in. It's all good. So we got that on the side. Zeb and Sabine are waiting for him. Hera and Kanan are up in, like, space, just hanging out, waiting, because they're waiting to get a decoder so that they can then go after the shipment ships. That doesn't sound right. But they're going after these transport ships. And we find out in a little bit that one of them has a kyber crystal on it. Or maybe kyber crystals. I wasn't clear if there was one.
They said kyber crystals, yeah. Which, of course, is a great callback to Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which is the 1978 novel that by Alan Dean Foster that Lucas actually intended to be the sequel should Empire not get funding.
Oh.
So there's actually a lot of history of the kyber crystals.
Ken's a dictionary and an encyclopedia.
I like
Star
that.
Too.
I learned something new.
Is that still considered canon? Because we've had a lot of discussion on what it's canon.
Splinter of the Mind Eye was never canon from back in 78. It never never needed to be canon, for lack of a better term. Part of the reason is Luke and Leia are the main good guys in the film, and there's kind of sexual tension. They were like, okay.
Awkward.
Not canon. Decidedly not canon.
George was like, I kind of got some other things for them.
Is he a gangster or a monster?
So, and kyber crystals are the forces of crystals. That's what they use to make their lightsabers, right? That's like the crystals in their lightsabers.
Power ships as well. Yeah. Powers the Death Star, too.
So, they could do some nasty stuff with that. We don't want that in the Empire's hands.
Because lightsabers aren't a thing at this particular time. Order 66 has been taken out. They're not making lightsabers.
Well, they're not making them, but Inquisitor has a lightsaber, so he obviously had
maybe
he's training people.
But it's also, again, it's a power source,
Right.
And they're, since this is a few years before New Hope, this is, like, they're in the middle of making the Death Star now.
Yeah. That's true. So maybe that's what they wanted it for.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the one they were going to use for the Death Star.
They started at the end of Revenge of the Sith, so it's taken them a long time.
Well, I mean, contractors.
It is very big.
Union problems.
Yeah. I mean, we can't even get the freeway fixed over here, so imagine the Death Star.
I'd imagine the Empire is a little better run than the city of L.A.
Well, yeah.
Maybe.
They run it with fear.
Look at their army.
Well, yeah.
Tyranny. I think that might help.
And they built a Death Star. We can't even keep the water main solid here.
So, Leonis is watching Ezra. Ezra sneaks off. He runs down the hallway real quick, and he runs into Callus. We see Agent Callus there, and he comes out, and I got a data pad for you. Can I put it on your desk? And you can see he was trying to, like, get in his room there, which was weird because he just walks in anyways right after that. He goes, and he types in a little laptop thing, and he pops out this decoder, and he's like, oh, this is what I need. And he's about to leave, and that's when he stopped by Leonis, who now you think, oh, God, is he going to turn him in? What's going to happen? pushes him in the room, and he kind of saves him because he's like, hey, man, if you would have taken that out, you would have set off the sensor. And the sensor would have alarmed the whole station. So that was bad. So now you're like, oh, this guy's helping Ezra. And even Ezra's like, well, are you trying to help me? That's when we find out that he is kind of on his little undercover mission, too, because his sister went to this academy. She was a top, like, performer. She was doing really great. And then all of a sudden, she's gone. Poof. So we don't know yet that the Inquisitor is involved, but we find out in a little bit, you know, that it was probably the Inquisitor who's taken out all these top kids or whatever. So they're working together now, and the very next day they have to do another little training mission, and he's like, hey, we got to make sure we get to the top, and they get to the top that day too, I think, right?
Yeah, by sabotaging the original friend.
The original friend, Jai Kell.
It should be noted that Ezra attempted to murder him by pushing him off.
Yeah, he could have died.
He could have hit the bottom and died.
What if he broke his neck?
I'm a stormtrooper. On record of saying I'm not the biggest Ezra fan yet. As we were talking off air, Dylan, that I'm waiting for the character to grow a little bit, like Snips turned into Ahsoka.
Right.
A little problem with Ezra, and that's one of the reasons.
Yeah. I just think this is another way that Ezra is exactly like Kanan, because, you know, Ezra is going undercover and he's adopting a new identity, and that's exactly what Kanan did, because he was Caleb. I don't know. It's just like the slump person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
he's learning from him.
We're also four episodes in, and Ezra is the audience age group avatar. You want to be that kid, so we're going to make him something that kids can relate.
Well, I will say I'm.
I don't like those kids. Nearly,
I pushed someone off a building once, so I can relate.
You can relate.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Can help it.
Kill the man.
There's no rules in Australia. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
When you have giant spiders, the rules go away.
Yeah. Jeez. I will say that even though like there are a lot of times where Ezra really annoys me, and you know all jokes about him being Aladdin aside, it was actually kind of refreshing in this episode to see him talk to kids his age and to see him act.
Yeah,
like
and he was
a
having
kid.
Fun. He's looked like and he was making friends.
Yeah,
too.
And not like a bratty kid, but like a kid who's having fun.
Like we said, he was friends with Jai Kell because they were competing and they kept getting first place together, and like he kept
beating them. Yeah, no, they had a great back and forth.
And then in this one, they were about to do it again, and that's when he pushes him off to the almost to his death.
Long live the king.
Good luck with that.
So that his other new sabotaging buddy could move up. Oh my god. This is always back to Disney. This is round and round.
You have me here.
Yeah.
I don't need an excuse.
And I like what the agent or the officer says, like, right after that. He's like, learn a lesson, boys. Like, there's no friends in war. And you're like, oh, God.
It's just like, that Ezra. Means none of the stormtroopers are friends.
No, they all
That's
hate
because
each other.
None of them are going to live till the end of the day. You don't make friends with people who are probably going to die.
A lonely life.
Preservation.
So now they get access back into the headquarters again because they all got to the top. And that night they decide they're going to go on a little mission to try and get that decoder. And he has Leonis' help this time. So Leonis, he climbs up in a vent and he's like, don't worry, I'm a Jedi. And Leonis is like, we're all right.
Because he's like, I'm training to become a Jedi. And he's like, aren't we all?
Yeah, come on.
I was like, that's cute.
So he climbs up the vents. He does his vent crawl thing that I think I've seen him do every episode now. He crawls through some vents. And then Leonis goes and distracts Kallus. So we get to see Kallus again. He distracts him by saying, oh, I got your pod racer parts. And I was like, oh, pod racers. Those are still a thing?
It's a wizard.
Pod racers is canon.
Yeah. No, I know, but it's been so long.
I mean,
you don't hear about them ever.
I guess Jabba the Hutt, though, was probably making a lot of money off of them and everything
Hand
like that.
Hand over fist.
You can imagine the Bunta Eve race is still going.
Still
like,
going?
It's still somewhere people are... the son of Sebulba is
the grandson of Sebulba.
Yeah. How did he procreate?
You don't want to know.
Let's not go into that.
I have this educational pamphlet right here. The mating habits of Dugs.
Yikes. Have we seen a female one of those?
How would you tell?
I don't want to.
How could you tell?
Oh, I mean, he does walk around like,
That's
true. So anyway.
No comment.
Let's
no
move fast.
No comment.
Sebulba. Okay, so.
Is a woman called a Sebulba?
Not Sebulba.
You've met Maud.
Man.
Hold on,
this is
great.
There it is.
I like you.
I'm sorry. Don't be. Okay.
Woo!
So is these
no longer a kids show.
this is a different show than normal, guys. I hope we got
so the kids distracting and saying the pod race apart.
Yeah, pod race apart. And Callus is arguing with him. Obviously, these aren't for me. You got the wrong thing. And then that's when we get to see Ezra use the Force, and he starts floating the disc up, just floating it right up into him, and you know. Leonis gets a little distracted and kind of looks at it. And then we have a long pause there where it's back and forth, back and forth. Oh, he's going to turn. And he turns and he's good.
To be fair, Callus is probably used to that because his mutton chops are so distracting. You know, people probably, like, he's probably used to the shifty eye thing because people are like staring at it and then like, I can't stare at it, but I can't break eye contact.
Your beard looks like a fence.
Did I do the right side shorter today? Real? I keep doing the right side shorter.
It's like Kevin Pollak in the Wayne's World movie. I think Wayne's World 2, where he had the eye all messed up, but he's probably used to it and a little cantankerous before that. I want to pose this as a group. Do you think, I know it's only four episodes in, is Ezra too good at the Force yet already? To me, he's just like, he's struggling, but he's got it. Early in the game.
We've had a total of, two episodes of him, of actual training?
Yeah,
his Force jumps are really good, though.
Yeah, his Force jumps. And those were good before they even started getting trained.
I'm sure his midichlorian count is off the charts.
Off the charts.
But
they rival Master Yoda.
Yeah.
On the flip side, we don't know how much time has passed between episodes, and they haven't given us an indication of, it's been 2 weeks, it's been 3 months, Ezra's been with us for a year, we have no idea. So it's possible that he's only been training for 2 weeks, in which case, dear God, he's a prodigy, something is wrong here. Or he's been there for half a year, and maybe it's a little more understandable that he knows how to lift a futuristic floppy disk,
which could be a basic Force skill. And also I gotta assume at some point they had to sign Ezra up to enter this academy, and that had to take a little bit of time.
Did mention at that one point where they said we gotta keep waiting, and Kanan says we've been waiting for weeks, have been there for weeks of Ezra running around in the academy, so who knows how long it's been
making friends.
But I think like he did it a little easily. Maybe there should have been a little bit more tiny bit of struggle, it's a little tiny.
I'm nitpicking, as we like to do sometimes on Jedi Alliance, but I just struck me as like, wow, he's really good at that. He struggled a little bit, but all right, maybe Kanan's that good of a teacher.
Killing all the obstacle courses.
And that's true.
He's cocky.
Granted, he might have been using the Force for, with his Force jumps, he might have been using it for years instinctively without realizing he was using the Force. So.
How did that apple fly to me? I don't know.
Well, he also when he's might jumping. Have been.
I know.
He's spending weeks at the academy away from his training. He might have been practicing in secret.
In his sleep.
In secret.
He's just every night. He's like making something float above the other guy's heads while they sleep. I drop it, they'll know.
Like with water balloons.
He's quite that dumb.
So, all right. So this is when Ezra's crawling back. Now he's got the decoder. He's like, "All right, cool. I'm gonna go turn this in." And he hears something like while he's coming through the vents there. And he's like, "Oh, what's that?" And he like peeks in. Now Ezra's eavesdropping, and we got the officer that has been training the whole time. He's going, "Oh, we got these cadets, and they're really good." And I wrote it down. He said, "I have two cadets, Morgan and Kel, that meet your special criteria, Inquisitor." And you're like, "What? I need him again." He turns around. Inquisitor's there. Now the Inquisitor's like, "All right, I'll be there tomorrow to check him." So now the Inquisitor is now tasking officers to look for really good
recruiting.
To either recruit them, maybe kill them. Who knows what he's doing with these really good. Because he might come there and then go, I can sense the Force in this child or teen or whatever you want to call him. And then he might just kill them because we don't know what he's doing with them.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of Inquisitors running around, so I doubt he's training them all.
And there is space to grow for, what's the dude? Is
there
that
Leonis?
His sister? Is that his sister?
Yeah. Dara, yeah.
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 His sister. They were searching for her, and she disappeared. So now...
And she disappeared. And you don't just disappear if you're rising up the ranks.
Well, they might, change their name and, change their whole life and tell them you can't have contact with anyone else.
Yeah.
Kind of like a special agent.
Well, remove them from that particular academy and take them to a completely different one. So they're no longer there, and they're... Blah. The parents don't have a forwarding address or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
And
that's the best best I could come up with.
I don't know. Disappeared is probably code for death.
I think so, too. Unless they're training them to be, like, elite troopers or, like, any kind of, like,
how cool
awesome
would it be if she
guys.
Popped up? That
I
would be
really
fantastic.
I really want her to come back. I feel like that's Chekhov's gun sitting up on the mantelpiece, and we just need it to be fired eventually.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Christian Harloff of Schmoes No was talking to me before this show coming in, and according to some of his sources, and this is Episode 7 speculation, Zaire Leonis is possibly tied to John Boyega's character in Episode 7, that there's a through line, and that is why he's been focused on, and that is why his sister has been mentioned clearly, and there's some things going on.
Yeah, because we did hear that this show would introduce characters that we would see later in the movie.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So you're thinking maybe John Boyega comes along, maybe he is Leonis?
Well, maybe he is related to, probably, but also keep in mind, there's... We don't go too much into Episode 7 speculation or rumors on our show. We want to be surprised.
Sure.
But there's some things we can't avoid, and that was there is supposedly a bunch of Inquisitors. And that...
Ooh, there's more than one!
It's just a title.
Right.
So
it's
that,
not the Inquisitor. It's an
entire league of lawful evil Javert's.
Right. Right. So it could be. This is speculation.
Are they all as cool as this one? Because this one is so bad.
Well, they're all Malfoys.
Yeah,
I'd imagine they're all equally.
They're
deadly.
All Slytherin.
Yeah. Well, they obviously wouldn't be as cool because they're not all. What's the race that he is?
Looks like a sock.
I don't think that's what I'm looking for.
That I don't know.
It's the race. They introduce him in, I think, in Attack of the Clones when they're on that one planet. And they're like really tall, and it's the one where Obi-Wan's riding around on his dragon.
The sock people?
The sock people.
Yeah, that's the official canon.
Honestly, watch it again. You'll never be able to see it differently now.
For that.
Now I really want to see all of these episodes recreated as like a little sock puppet show.
All right. So now we got Ezra gets out of there. He's got some new information. He knows that, oh my god, I gotta help Jai because the Inquisitor's gonna take him away. So he sends a message with Chopper. He gives him the decoder. Now Kanan and Hera can decode the message, find out where those transport ships are, and go after that Kyber crystal. And he gives him a message that says, hey, I'm sticking around because I gotta help my buddy get out of here. You guys just go do that. Don't worry about me. I'll take care of this. And he says, can somebody attack at noon tomorrow? Maybe get a little distraction.
That would be great.
Get out of here. Help, please. Yeah, so they take care of that. And that's when Ezra and Leonis go and they wake Jai up and they get him on their team. They tell him, like, hey, this is what's happening. This people disappear. This is bad. And he doesn't seem to buy it at first, but then Leonis really sells it to him. Like, hey, man, my sister's gone. You ever want to see your mom again? You're never going to see your family. This is what's going to happen. They're just going to come take you away. And then he's like, okay, I'm in. So now he joins him. Now, this is where we cut to Kanan and Hera. And I love it. I love seeing Kanan and Hera do stuff. Like, I love it when they're together because they're such a cool team.
There needs to be more.
Mom and dad are awesome. Let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah. There needs to be more. Whoop, ships. Accident. Oh, sorry. just a little bit more of that. I know it's the kids show, but.
Do we ship it?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I just want a little bit.
Let's be real. She wears the pants in that relationship.
And it's fun. That's good.
And
how great is it to actually see her, like, taking charge because, and actually, you know, causing this big old giant explosion because she's always the cavalry and or she's always the getaway car.
Yeah.
Which is great because she's such an awesome character. It's fun to see her in those roles, but it's really nice to actually get her to see her on the front line.
Right.
And this is where she's at home.
I feel like we should see more of that because the New Dawn built her up as such an awesome character. Like in that book, she kicks tons of ass. Yeah. She's just all over the place kicking ass the whole time. And even Kanan's like, wow, I really like this chick. She's awesome.
She doesn't need to be rescued.
Right. Yeah. She's just cool.
One of the great things about the character is she's the voice of reason, logic, calm. Kanan's kind of the loose one. She hasn't yet got the chance to shine in this show yet. This was her best episode.
Little glimpses.
I think next week the preview looks really good. But what I love about the character too, its design, her outfit is very practical. It's businesslike. It is like she has like pants on to go fix an engine, and she's not designed to be sexy cosplay.
Right.
I like what they've done.
Steampunk.
Yeah. I like what they've done with this character so far.
Yeah. How did she hear anything, though? You guys notice she's wearing, like, huge earmuffs?
don't know. Maybe not, at the bottom.
Her ears are covered. I don't know how she hears anything.
Maybe she picks up vibrations through her... what are those things called? The Twi'lek things.
What it is.
I always just call them pigtails. They're not pigtails.
No.
those.
Liku. That's our Liku.
I'm going to go with you. Yes. Dylan's right.
I think so.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's Liku or
Even if
Liku
you're wrong, that no one here is equipped to tell you you're wrong.
But the people on the interwebs will correct me.
People on the interwebs have Google at their fingertips and they're not on camera.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get back to this. So there, Kanan flies off to, he senses the Kyber crystal. He's like, because, you know, it resonates with the Force, and he goes, it's on the middle ship. We got to take that one out. So he goes off to try and attack or to distract the TIE fighters. And I like we're watching the episode, and right when he comes off the ship, the TIE fighters all take off.
Boom. And it's like, are the pilots already dismanning them? Are they just sitting there waiting? Oh, now. Now we go.
Go.
Yeah.
Now, probably. Here would have been a great opportunity for them to use that stolen TIE fighter if they didn't crash it.
Yeah, they could have kept that thing. That's true. They just flew it in. They would have thought, oh, we're a rogue TIE fighter. Let us park here. So they're just, he's distracting them. Hera goes in for the kill. She has to, like, go up because she's getting shot, I guess.
She's taking some damage.
Yeah, she was taking some damage. Yeah, yeah. So she had to, like, pull up, and then she came back down with the aerial attack right before it was about to go into hyperspace. Boom! Shoots it. But what was weird here was she shot it, and you seem to know a lot about the Kyber crystal. She shot just regular blasts at it and started blowing up the ship, but then it blew up into this massive green explosion. Like, was... Could that have been, like, the crystal helping that?
To be honest, I don't know. And I was wondering, I thought they were going for that, so maybe they were just destroying it. I was more upset that, again, hundreds of innocent, hardworking Imperial soldiers died.
Yeah, right.
Just on a mission.
They were just doing their job.
They're just doing their delivery, honey. I'll be back. I'm dead. but, yeah, I was a little
confused about that because she didn't shoot, like, a... You know, special missile or bomb.
I'm about to say something very geeky, so I do apologize.
Do it.
Go ahead.
Very reminiscent of episode 2, season 1 of Farscape, and there was a particle of a wormhole that they were using as a weapon, and it had the same color and it had the same explosion effect.
Oh.
Just saying.
Well, maybe that's one thing.
Nice.
Maybe somebody should tell
it. Also looked like Wildfire from Game of Thrones season 2.
Yeah, that's true. It's space wildfire.
Well,
if we're going to geek it up.
Okay.
There you go,
how
guys.
How stable are the crystals? Is it possible that the explosion of the ship that was carrying them could have set off a reaction?
I believe so. Again, I'm going to have to research this now.
Okay.
I'll have your answer.
Hey, cool. Yeah, let us know.
We've
set
home.
So, anyways, there's a huge explosion. They got to do the classic, outrun the explosion. Can we make it? Kanan docks in the ship and then boom, going into hyperspace. So they're safe. They're all good. And now we go back to Ezra because we got some important stuff going on. Ezra's trying to get Jai out of there. Woo! So now they have another mission, right? And they're trying to get up there because they want to all be in the walker so that they can walk out. But we have a problem here. That one jerk of a kid who keeps trying to mess with him because he wants to be at the top. Faceless guy, green marker dude. He shoots at, was it Jai? I think it was Jai.
Yeah.
He shoots at Jai and Ezra takes the hit for him. And now Ezra falls and could die.
No.
Ezra almost broke his neck.
The one stormtrooper that can aim.
Yeah.
Doesn't even get a name.
He doesn't even have a name.
He's just that jerk.
They get up there. Ezra comes in fourth, so he doesn't get to ride in the walker, but he's like, it's okay. Stick to the plan. And so now we got Jai and Leonis in the walker, and Leonis is now a thief. He can slip a blaster rifle off a stormtrooper without him noticing.
Yeah.
That's pretty slick.
Well, the stormtrooper was probably also not expecting it. These are all rookies.
Yeah.
I'm working with them. I'm teaching them stuff. It'll be fine. He was not expecting to get pickpocketed.
Thievery. He gives it to Jai, and then Jai, at the same time, we see Chopper.
Yeah.
And Chopper doing his little thing. He sabotages another walker outside, throws a little bomb on it, makes his crazy little noises, and drives off. So he blows it up. They start the attack. the guys in the walker, they shoot the other guy. They shoot the little stormtrooper that shot Ezra.
It was blue. It was set to stun.
Yeah, it was set to stun. So
because I was like, whoa, that's our weapon.
Whoa, that guy jerk.
Yeah, right? It's supposed to be a kid's show.
My favorite.
Kill the children. All the children.
Wait, we had that already.
Yeah, Anakin.
I was going to say, that was episode 3.
Yeah.
Anakin's a big fan of that.
So he rose to power.
Did you guys see the clip where Darth Vader... the Darth Vader clip talking to the Inquisitor that they...
I did.
Okay.
I did, yeah.
Because he basically says that, just go kill a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, Anakin, you really got to calm down.
He needs to stop that.
Hey, I did it, and I turned out okay.
Yeah, look at me.
Fine.
I started with the sand people and worked my way up.
Yeah. So, now we got this all this crap going down, and this is my favorite part, because Ezra runs and he like jumps on it, and I like that the officer goes, look at him, he's trying to take him out single-handedly. Yeah. I thought that was good.
What a good loyal kid.
Yeah, a good stormtrooper. And they go down because of a little battle tank, and Ezra falls outside, and thank goodness Zeb and Sabine were there. Zeb starts sniping some people. Not set to stun. He was killing them.
Yeah, I know that as well. Yeah.
Sabine comes over, and I like how she just kicks one dude and then shoots the other guy in the face.
Right in the face.
Just right in the face.
A red blaster. So yeah. That's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah, he's like dead. Not even mostly dead.
The guy with the kick, though, he's going to get up. And now his buddy's dead.
Well, as we've learned from the Ewoks, just a little rock to your helmet, you're done.
So yeah.
Something goes on. You get hit. Direct hit.
So they get Jai, they get out of there, and we see Leonis. He stays back. He's like, I gotta stay back. I gotta stay in because I gotta find out what happened to my sister. So they're like, all right, we'll check in with you. So maybe we will see him later.
I hope so. I hope he gets to be like their inside man. But it's also very possible that could backfire on that kid so quickly.
Yeah, it could. Right. Or he could fall victim to the training and the brainwashing, and he could just become evil.
Well, the Inquisitor's like got his eye on him.
Right now.
Yeah. We need to talk.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. To talk. Yeah.
Yeah, because right after that, he pretends to shoot at him, and they bring him in. They make him talk to the Inquisitor, saying, like, he was with them. He knows them. And the Inquisitor goes, tell me all about your used-to-be friends. And he's like...
Something that they do, brainwashing?
Well, I imagine that any kind of like imperial training would be subject to some kind of brainwashing where like the Empire is your family. Yeah. You will always serve the Empire. I just imagine that would take place in some kind of military regime like that.
I think so. Little Clockwork Orange.
Just yeah, like. Exactly. There you
and
go.
That's why they have to take them to a different facility, because see? The ones who aren't dumb enough to win the challenges are the ones who don't need to be the ones who are dumb enough not to win. Negatives. the dumb ones don't need to be brainwashed.
There we go.
That's what I was getting at.
So, they get out of there now. Our heroes are gone. Leonis is staying back talking to the Inquisitor. Maybe we'll see him again. Maybe we won't. And now we're down to Kanan and Ezra and Hera. They park the ship again. Every episode ends with them parking the ship and having a little chat. And they say, oh, Jai, we're going to help you out. We're going to get you and your mom out into hiding. They're like, oh, yeah, hiding from the Empire, which is true. Like, where are they going to hide? Dagobah, maybe. So
I can think of a few planets that not a good place to go.
Middle of the desert and Tatooine.
Gold.
Swamp and
Dagobah. Van Nuys.
Yeah. No one knows you once you go to Van Nuys.
Well, it sure was a swamp there today.
So.
101.
But then we get the little Kanan Ezra pep talk at the end, and Kanan says, oh, how was it? And he's like, oh, it's been a while since I was on my own. And Kanan's like, oh, did you miss it? And I liked Ezra's line, no grumpy robots, no smelly Lasats. And then he goes, it's good to be back. So, you know, now Ezra, this is his family. He loves it now.
Ezra's called them heroes.
Yeah, he called them heroes.
Yeah,
earlier.
And that really resonated with me.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that's like a big thing when he looks up to them and knows that they're fighting for the greater good.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Yarp. Right. Because in the beginning, he was reluctant to join them, and he was reluctant to even be with a team of people.
Well, he hated Zeb.
Right. He hated Zeb.
That's not hard.
Well,
I
don't know what you're talking about. I have a real problem, and that it happened again at the beginning of the episode. The authorities that decide to have a really bad Australian accent, I find it really offensive.
Oh, that bigger dude. That yeah.
All right, guys, it's time to step into line.
It's like, oh.
That guy has never been to Australia.
He's from Space Australia.
Oh, right.
There you go. It's
Space
a completely
Australia.
Different...
Space Australia.
Space Australia.
Yeah. It's yeah. a completely different yeah. thing.
From real
That's
Australia.
That's why it sounds terrible.
But so, it's in every episode. I'm seeing a pattern with it all. It's like, right, here's your brief. You're a rough Australian guy. You know, it's a little bit... Who's the iconic guy at the... Got the bump in the heart? This the is what? So disrespectful.
There's a lot of people from Space
Steve,
Australia.
Steve
Irwin.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like
oh,
they're all trying to vaccinate Steve Irwin.
Oh. And here we have a Jedi.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Now that I've said it, every episode you'd be like, ooh, there it is.
There it is. Yeah, we'll watch out for the Space Australia. Space Australia. Yeah.
The Space Ray.
So now everybody's back and it's all good. And this is where we see our trailer for next time, which yeah. looks like it's going to be a Sabine and Hera episode, woo-hoo! Which is going to
yeah!
be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
I
want to
see more
that.
Of Sabine. Like, she's a demolitions expert.
Yeah. Right.
With spray paint.
Well,
and she's a Mandalorian.
Who spray painted Cad Bane in the second episode. Oh, there's got to be a story there.
Wait.
She's spray painting that room. There, she leaves. They do a shot. She has painted Cad Bane, the bounty hunter from Clone Wars,
she did
in her room.
Like a she painted like a picture of Cad Bane?
Yeah, so there's something. There's some backstory there that we got to get
yeah,
into.
Yeah, I got to see that. Cad Bane was one of the coolest bounty hunters of all time.
Absolutely.
Wow, I gotta go back and rewatch that just so I can see that picture of Cat Bane. Yeah.
Well, and even going back to the pilot, like Sabine and Hera were the two characters I was most interested in after the pilot.
Yeah.
And we haven't had an episode to focus on either of them yet. You know, again, the glimmer of awesome still comes through in each episode, but we still don't know jack about either of them.
Yeah. Because we've had to get used to our I can't say shonen protagonist because it's not an anime. We had to get used to our audience XB protagonist. Yeah. The kids there have to love him before they can love anyone else mm-hmm. because he's staying with us.
Yeah. It's boring.
I know.
Get to the demolition expert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready to see the girls. I'm ready to see the girls take it on. It's going to be fun.
You want
to
watch yourself when you say those words.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
This is a kid's show. This
I'm ready to see Sabine and Hera.
Thank you. Yeah.
Kick some ass.
There it is.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching this. And we want to tell you, if you got anything to say, you hear us say something wrong, whatever, correct us. Come on. bring it to us. Talk to us on YouTube. Talk to us on Twitter. We're there always, all the time, trying to respond to you guys and seeing what you have to say. And maybe if you have anything you want us to talk about, throw it at us. You know, we got a new book come out yesterday. Came out, Tarkin.
Tarkin.
Yes.
I know I'm excited about it. I know I heard you guys saying you're excited about it. So maybe when we get through that, last time I ordered a new Dawn, it took like a month for it to get to me.
Aww.
So who knows when I'm going to get Tarkin.
It's a sign.
Yeah, I know.
A new Dawn takes a month to do anything.
There you go.
And ouch. Under the bus.
But also if you are listening to this on iTunes, which I know many of you are, feel free to go and rate us and comment on us. It helps keep our show alive, helps know, you know, that people are paying attention and that people like us or people want us to stay around. We appreciate everything that you guys do and watching and listening to us. It's really great. But before we go, I'm going to throw it over to you guys, Ken and Maude, and talk about Jedi Alliance a little real quick so that people can maybe, you know, want to go see what you guys do.
Absolutely. Jedi Alliance is a show we tape and gets up on air every Monday on iTunes and on YouTube, on youtube.com/SchmozNoPodcast. You can go there. You can find our Facebook page.
Yep. Just search Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes No Network. It's a long title. You'll find it quickly. We're also on Twitter. Just search at Jedi Alliance SK. And in the show, you can expect us to do something called Duel of the Fates, where we pit two things, anything in the universe, whether it's two vehicles, two people, put them together and see which one you'd think would be better.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. This week, we're debating Anakin Skywalker or Luke Skywalker, who is the better pilot. That's kind of stuff we do there. So join the conversation on those pages.
We also do trivia, and I'm surprised that this camera's working because I got so enraged at my tough questions that I threw my water everywhere. That was a hard question. What is the average height of an Ewok? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's a meter. 1 meter.
One meter, huh?
But we have fun doing that. It's a show that we celebrate Star Wars is what we do. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
It is a celebration of the greatest saga ever told.
Ooh, there it is.
And there's some pretty good impersonations too.
Can the people find you guys personally, not just the show?
Yeah.
Tell them where to...
You can find me on Twitter @KenNapsok. It's Instagram as well. You can find Muddy
Yes, I'm at Maud Garrett, M-A-U-D-E-G-A-R-R-E-T-T. Apparently, I can't say R.
R-R?
It sounds like I'm going to the dentist getting a checkup.
Can you, before you leave, can you do your sand person impersonation?
Yeah.
Oh, do it. Do it.
My
Tuscan
Raider. Are you ready? So say we're all in a pod racer and you're going past. It's a poo poo. That's not my best one.
It's okay.
That wasn't my best.
That's all right. It's good. We like it.
You don't want to sound any dust sticks.
Sand Raider impression is a Sand Raider impression in my book. So, guys, thank you so much for coming.
Thank
we love
you for
having you here.
Having.
We love talking Star Wars. It's great. And we can tell you guys are on the game. So, guys, tune in. Watch them. It's good. Good stuff. And if you guys ever want to come back.
Yeah, please. Yeah, back anytime.
Anytime. Because it's fun. Ladies, where can they find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I am also on the Arrow and Z Nation panels.
Oh, all right. And I'm Dylan Chance. You can find me on Twitter at Dylan Chance or on Instagram at Dylan.Chance. Or you can find me here on Sundays for NBC's Grimm. And with that, we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Oh!
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.